Now, here's the problem this morning, the tragedy this morning is we don't have enough sense. We don't have the sense of those wrestlers. We don't have the experience of those wrestlers to know when the fatal hold has been put on us. Whether it be the God of this world with the appeal and the, or whether it be a lust of some nature, or whether it be a temptation or a deception, whatever it is, so many people of God are ignorant, are careless, don't have the appreciation for their liberty and their freedom that we ought to have. I guess my message is very simple. It's just simply, let us appreciate the liberty wherein we've been set free. And treasure our freedom in a new way. Over the past few years, we've seen the deliverance wave sweep through the body of Christ. And I believe it was a wave of the Spirit to set a lot of people free from things and bondages and hindrances that were holding them back from serving the Lord with all of their heart and all of their life. But I've seen a carelessness as well in many of the people that were prayed for and were benefited by the travail and the earnest pouring out of tireless saints and warriors who know how to fight the battle against the spirits. And they have been careless. The recipients of this deliverance have been careless in many places. Some of them are coming back for the third and fourth time in a very nonchalant attitude that, it was easy the first time. I'll get, free of all this and there will be no big problem. But they don't understand what wrestling with the spirits of darkness is all about. And that what they are trying to do is to get that fatal hold. When that wrestler, we're trained a little bit in the medical corps in the U.S. Navy. Fellows that worked on the battlefield there with the Marines. And we were trained that you had to instantly respond to certain activities of the enemy if you came in contact with them or they came in, up close to you. And that you had to instantly respond or it's too late. You only had a split second from the awareness of danger before you respond. How many took Marine Training Corps? Marine Corps training. You had to move quickly. And it was not a pretty game. It was a desperate game. If a man came at you with a bayonet, you had to have your combat boots with a violent forward kick into his knees just below the caps if you were going to survive. That had to be instantaneous. He came up behind you, you had to have the power there up forward. You had to have the power in your hands to come up through there violently. You had to be able to use your fingers. And it was deadly. It was for life or death. It was no game. And I was out there to, rescue the perishing. My job was to go out and pick up the people that were wounded and bruised and patch them up. But we were also instructed that in so doing, we could be hindered in our work by somebody who had become along interfering. And we were highly trained. And it was spontaneous. And a lot of veterans have come back from those wars and they'd get into a street fight and kill somebody, forgetting that was just for war. But there was something built into their mentality and built into their instincts to move instantly for their life saving. And we aren't going to give those kind of instruction sessions, Kuji or Fuji or some of those, whatever they do. But there is a need in the Spirit to warn people of the casual approach that most are taking toward their liberty. And when we're instructed to stand fast in the liberty wherein we've been set free, it's a new dimension that most believers, even in this place, understand. That when the enemy comes in with a small voice or with a fiery dart or with any technique and we're told to run from it, we're supposed to run. And careless Christians, you watch them moving away from temptation so slow. you'd think they wanted it to overtake them. And there are people that stay in a situation where they well know that it's dangerous and they well know that it's going to catch up with them if they don't get out of there quickly. Joseph was not, it wasn't very glamorous, you know, to run. A lot of men of God have run when that was the safety thing to do. And so God is here saying, when you see these things, don't be embarrassed to run. So I believe that the Lord would give us a little instruction of self-defense instruction against the powers and the wiles and the bag of tricks the enemy has to pull upon the people of God. And you can sit here today and think back over some places where you've been and only the mercy of God got you out of it alive. We can say that here on the platform. I believe that I'm a testimony of one who... I have chicken feathers to my knees. I don't mind telling you that. I get scared. And I do run. If I look real quiet there on the platform, you're not sure whether I'm really in the meeting or not. Don't worry about it. I'm just idling my motors. You travel 100,000 miles a year. When you come to convention, you just kind of idle the motors. But inside, wide awake, inside, alive, inside, listening. So don't be deceived. I went moose hunting with a couple guys, three guys, and I was sitting at the front door on the side opposite the driver, and several people were in the back, and there's a whole bunch of us hunting moose early morning. So I had the breech of my gun open. I had three shells in my hand, and even though I was kind of relaxed, I was awake. And we popped over a little hill, and there in the middle of the road was a big moose. What we came for, you know. I leaped out, put the three shells in my gun, and knocked the moose down. While the other guys went back to the end of the van and opened it up and got their guns out of the cases and scramble looking for their shells. They weren't quite ready. And you know, if we're gonna hit this thing that's gonna happen in the twinkling of an eye, if we're gonna hit this thing that's the tiniest window of opportunity, we're gonna have to be awake, we're gonna have to be alert. We're gonna have to have a view different from the complacent, lethargic people around us and careless believers who are not spending time in prayer, not spending time in the Word, not seeking God, not in earnest awareness, not in a vigilance. Children wander away. Parents are careless, even in this place. I went somewhere, and there was a half a dozen little kids, little boys. You know, you put a half a dozen little boys together, you will soon have problems. I know, I grew up with five brothers. And we were trouble. If we weren't watched, we were trouble. And only in the mercy of God, got my mother into the church and got her saved and then got us saved. That was the mercy of God. Just remember this. The deepest vein of truth that runs through the revelation that this move of God has had is the message of remaining free. Oh, by the way, on this matter of fleeing, I can show you where it's very spiritual to flee. Over in Revelation chapter 12, talks about a woman. A woman. And she had reasons. Because a dragon had come before the church. And she was about to deliver a child. And in verse 6 it says, after the child was caught up, the woman fled into the wilderness. Now you figure out where that is. You can make up your own wilderness. It can be on a high rise, on the penthouse floor, some city if you choose. You decide where that wilderness is for you. But this woman fled into a wilderness. And it says right after that, and there was war. Now, we're free to decide any way we want to the interpretation of any of these warnings that Jesus gives, or the Bible gives, or Revelation gives. We're free to do that. But we have to be well aware that we take the consequences and we suffer the full impact of whatever that does for us in the long run. Because there's some careless people that don't care where they live. God can take care of them anywhere. But you've heard this before. He doesn't have to. He only has to meet us where He agrees to meet us. And we've heard for all these years that there is a context for you and a context for me where God is going to do a dealing in our lives. And that's the only safe place for us. And I don't know where that place is for you. We decide that. And we've let a lot of this slip, and we've put a lot of it on the shelf. And I'll tell you what happened to the shelves that people have put all this stuff on over the years. They've broken down from the load, the sheer weight of all the things they have not yet faced and not yet prayed out to God to get the straight word on it for them. And their shelves have broken down with the laden of things and truths and dealings of God in their lives. They said, well, I'm going to put that on the shelf, and their shelves are broken down. It's time today to dig around in the rubble. The days of Nehemiah, they found something in the rubble. They found the old truths. They found the old truths that incidentally brought them to tabernacles in those days. They dusted them off. They were, you know, opened them up again. And that's what happened just a few years ago in us move. Dusted off the truths that had been dropped in the rubble. Began to search it out and see that there was a revelation and there was a program of God to lead a people to the consummation of the feast, tabernacles. And so we no longer can sit in conventions and just take it or leave it, pick at our plate like a spoiled child. I like that preacher. I like his illustrations. I don't care for that fellow. He's a little bit dull. I don't like this heavy duty on doom. Well, just cast aside your preferences. Just say, Spirit of God, speak to me. The Holy Ghost of conviction, deal with my heart. Get my preferences out of the way. Get my tastes out of the way. And just let me hear what you have to say. I remember somebody speaking at a convention. Everybody there thought that that person was a little bit dry and drab. But I want to tell you, there was a half a dozen people who went to that convention brand new with open hearts and open ears. And that was the person who spoke something to them that changed their lives around. And I said, shut my mouth forever. Because you don't know what word and you don't know what agency or what vessel that God's going to use to force it into your heart and make you face it. Your freedom is at stake. My freedom is at stake. Our freedom as a people is at stake. Not to mention the nation. They've lost their freedom. It's judgment on America. You heard Brother Milton read poor David Wilkerson's burden for New York. Dear God, 1,000 fires, they'll burn for months. And you know that after looking at Los Angeles, you know how well they can do. I was in South Georgia watching the riots up there in Atlanta. And that was just a little exercise and a little practice. That one day when that thing breaks loose, it's just going to go like a prairie fire across America. You know, visions years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, great steamrollers rolling across the landscape. Just crushing everything in his sight. And little pockets here and there were preserved a few people. And you are not smart enough, and I am not smart enough to figure out where those pockets are unless God of heaven speaks to us and tells us where they are. That woman fled. Here's the good news, and here's the blessed news. If we're in the place, there will be a set of wings given to a people. And you know, somehow, as you look this thing flat in the face, as you watch the thing developing, the storm clouds mounting up and rolling with greater intensity and ferociousness, there is still something inside of your being that knows that a set of wings of eagles is being given to a people. And there's a set of overcomers. And there's an army that's well-trained and well-disciplined that's going to be a match for the days in which we live. God has not carelessly called forth His army this day. He has not carelessly called forth His warriors and His servants this day. He's picked a trained bunch. He's given them the rigors of school. Marine training was rigorous, but it saved our lives. Marine training saved my life. A very close friend who won the Congressional Medal of Honor because we took that training seriously. We were the first guys out on the field in the morning. We tried to do our best to be the first ones through the obstacle course. We were listening with great intensity because we know we were going to go to the jungles and we were going to go to the South Pacific and we'd get the real thing out there real soon. So we had, you know, and I don't know why it is that there's such laxity in the church, who is the target of the whole wide world and every devil in hell and every agency on the earth of violence and anti-God nature, the terrorists. They've got one aim. The devil has one aim. The dragon has one aim, and that's us. Why there can be lethargy in such a time? It can only be because of the lowering temperature spiritually and the darkness that's closing in around and the sleepiness that grips most people. It's time to shake ourselves and get up and change some patterns in our lives. And I'll tell you what, if we're on our face, if we're spending some time with God every day, it's not going to sneak up on us. If we're in the Word and we're in the meetings and we're in praise and our hearts are earnest before the Lord, it's not going to sneak up on us. We're going to be ready for such an hour. There's going to be an intensity to us. You know, David had appreciation for liberty. He was a fugitive for a long time. And I don't know if you know anything about what it would be like to be a fugitive. Years ago, they had a program, probably in the 50s, called The Fugitive. And how many would make a confession? You're that old and you probably saw just one episode. Nobody ever sees more than one. Just one episode. But, you know, it was a frightening thing. Usually the thing started out with this man running for his life, running down a rainy street with a car right after him. And he would duck in, and then they'd, you know, and every one of those things was, you know, scary. Well, this guy ran for his life. Well, if we only knew it, there's some hot breath on our neck. There's an intention to come against. David knew all about that. He knew what it was to hide out. He knew what it was to fight his way out of an entrapment. He knew what it was to spend those lonely months in a cave somewhere. He knew all about being a fugitive. And when he says in the 119th Psalm, he just says a little phrase that has more meaning to me this morning as God's been dealing with me about this. In the 119th Psalm in verse 45, he says, I will walk at liberty. He had a special appreciation of liberty that many of us don't know anything about because we haven't been where he was. He talked about the snare. He talked about the fowler snare, you know. He talked about the net. He knew what it was to daily be in danger of walking into a trap. When he said in that 119th Psalm, I will walk in liberty, he had a special meaning for that. It's interesting in Acts, two men are talking about their freedom. And you can just see a difference in these two fellows. In Acts chapter 22, Paul, himself in custody at the time, was talking to the chief, the captain there, and the Roman, and they were having a little discussion. In verse 27, the chief captain came and said, tell me, are you a Roman? He said, yeah. And the chief captain answered, and here's their little discussion about freedom. And the captain had this to say, with a great sum I obtained this freedom. We've talked about that this week, about how long and laborious it is if you take the tenacious way to freedom. If you have to get all the help, self-help books and all of the counseling and all of that stuff, it can take years. We had a fellow in one of my churches that went, he had some psychosis left over from some other experience or whatever, but he went to Spokane, Washington was nearby, and talked to a counselor. The veteran department was paying the bill, so he went over there, and I'd see him come and go. And 3 years later, I asked him, how are you doing? What's happening? He said, well, we're making progress. And I said, like what? He said, well, they tell me I really do have a problem. I said, man, I could have saved you the money. I knew you had a problem before you ever started the first trip.